You might be amazed to know that there are some companies who don't know this yet, but the best companies are the ones that are built with a culture that allows people to bring their whole selves to work. With a large portion of our time being spent at work, it behooves a company to celebrate every aspect of being human, letting people learn more about themselves and allowing them to play toward their strengths. Today's guest, Jeanette Wade, is a local St. Louisan and hardcore EOS practitioner. Bringing over 2 decades of experience, she knows exactly what kinds of decisions leaders need to make to get their companies to the next level. Get your headphones or AirPods in for this episode and find out what some different patterns are that can lead to success for any company that's pushing forward into this new era. Enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the Hot Mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Jeanette Wade, business alchemist, certified EOS implementer, and Forbes book author. How are you today, Miss Jeanette?
I'm doing great. How are you, Fritz?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing excellent. Living day by day. That's like white people code for everything's going terrible, but it's actually going really good. It's going really good. You know, if anything, this whole pandemic has taught me and a lot of other people, be grateful for the blessings you've got and don't lose sight of them and just live in the now, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm doing, Jeanette. Thank you for asking. Well, I'm glad to have Jeanette on the show today. She's a fellow St. Louisan, and she comes by way of a previous podcast guest, Christy Maxfield, who has been turning it up to 11 when it comes to referring guests. And that's how I know networking works. When I ask a previous guest, hey, you know anybody? And then they're just like, yeah, I know 17 people. I'm like, well, okay, let's get them on the books. Let's get them on the show. So I'm curious because I've had, as we were talking before we hit the record button, I've had at least 2 people talk to me about EOS. And I know we're not talking about the lip balm stuff. We're talking about there's something to do about team building and business coaching. So what is EOS all about? I'm going to pick your brain.
Yeah, no, the buzz is picking up more in St. Louis than it has before. I've been at EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System Implementer, since 2013. And I'll tell you, just hearing you say, oh, I've talked to a few people about this is music to my ears, because when I first brought it to St. Louis, I would say EOS, or I'd say Traction, which is the book it's based in. Mm-hmm. And people would look at me like I was from another planet. And so I was kind of a pioneer bringing it in, and no one understood the language I was speaking. But more and more entrepreneurs, business leaders, business owners, visionary founders have gravitated towards EOS. And basically as a means to get traction on their vision with a healthy team so they can get more of what they want out of their business. So I help them do that throughout the years.
Okay, cool. You know, that's something that I've realized, I've learned this the hard way, Jeanette, that I did start out my career thinking I'm going to be an entrepreneur when I grow up. Holy gee whiz, there's a lot to it. And I guess some of the common challenges are, you know, how do you build a business? Like you don't want to start off this career of being an entrepreneur just to build a job for yourself, right? Like you ultimately want to have something that you can step away from for a time and it doesn't catch on fire, you know, like, oh my goodness, I stopped looking away and it exploded. You know, what are some of the most common things that when people start up the EOS program, they're trying to figure out how to solve X? Like, what is X that you find the most common challenge?
Most common challenge is typically people. The businesses that succeed, the businesses that fail, when you read their story, the common denominator has always been people. So mm-hmm. they want more effective, more engaged, better people, better ways to manage people. So it's not so painful to manage people. Mm-hmm. So people's a common frustration. The other frustration I'm hearing is they want to scale, stabilize, grow, you know, they want to get to a next level, but they've been kind of stuck or hitting the ceiling and getting to that next level. And they just think it's gone beyond them. And the team in place can't seem to scale to that next level either. Or quite frankly, they've tried everything and nothing has worked. So they need a more simplified approach to that growth.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the human aspect, which is kind of funny that, you know, we're the reason why businesses succeed and or fail. It's like, oh, that blasted human element. You know, if we could just do this without people, wow, you know. But we're here, and you know, you have to have people. You got to have humans running the business. What is it that makes certain teams or certain people hard to manage in the first place? Getting insights on that?
I think, well, there's a lot of things, because obviously you're dealing with complexity of human beings, as mm-hmm. you mentioned. But I think when it comes to business, sometimes as leaders and managers, we don't set the stage and get clarity and set context for our people. So they flounder a bit, they get confused, they aren't able to move forward. So we don't give them a framework, which is what we do in EOS. We give you a system and a way and a model of running your business with all the tools to help manage and harness that people energy more effectively.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And there's, I mean, you could see plenty of examples of companies that just, they just aren't run well. They're not run well. And I'm by no means an expert in this. Like, I'm not a company whisperer, like, oh, you've got this problem here. It's like, oh, the culture is just oppressive and thick, and people don't feel like, I guess people don't feel like they can be trusted to try things, you know, take risk or something. Or is that way off base? Do you think people just aren't trusted?
I think trust is a huge element to getting to results. Trust builds confidence within people. It also gets us past human instinct when we are trusted, or we can trust an environment we're in, or we can trust our leaders and managers. We get past self-protection instincts or social acceptance instincts, meaning we're trying to fight to figure out how we belong, or we're trying to keep ourselves safe. And a lot of times as employees, they keep themselves safe by staying quiet, which means we don't have the transparency, lucidity, or awareness of all the issues going on in our businesses at any one time, because they're keeping that nice little secret to themselves.
Ooh, that's a big one. That is a big one. I have been at places that are like that, and it troubles me, but it's also refreshing, because I can look back on my own career and be like, I was that guy. You know, I used to be that guy. I used to be like, I got to make sure I get them before they get me. And it's like, I spent so much energy worrying about what people were trying to do. Like, everybody hates me, you know, and you beat yourself up. And then it's like, you could do some amazing stuff with all that mental energy if you're just not focused on trying not to make waves, you know, and you got to have the right culture for that. How do you help people feel safe about not being quiet? You know what I mean?
Well, first, I think a lot of leaders or managers really have to be vulnerable and transparent themselves.
Okay.
That the more human they are, the more willing we are to be human ourselves, right? So they tend to guard their feelings and behaviors in the hopes of having executive presence or some kind of leadership skill, that really what we're looking for is a connection with our leaders and managers. That's why a lot of times in employee surveys, when we do 360 review surveys, most of the time in the top 10 pieces of feedback is that my manager is unavailable to me, or I don't have a great connection with my manager, or they don't communicate well with me. So we tend to guard our humanity away from our people, and it's our humanity that connects us and that creates that bond of trust.
Okay. Yeah, that is kind of a trickle down way of, you know, fostering that trust. If the people that are at the top are vulnerable, if they're acting human, wonder of wonders, the people that are working in the trenches tend to act human too. And when they're just kind of ivory tower, you know, I talk and you listen, then it's like, yeah, people will kind of turtle up and defend themselves. You make it seem so easy to identify the stuff. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been doing postmortems on companies now?
So I've been working with different teams, different businesses for over 26 years, and I've been an EOS implementer for, now almost 8 years.
Yeah.
And so I've seen it within EOS implementation over 500 days in what I call the business lab. We call them EOS sessions when we're in EOS, but full day sessions with leadership teams, seeing them making tough decisions, solving issues, all the different human dynamics that come to play there when doing strategic offsites. and then just the multiple teams when I've worked at startups, a lot of dynamics there. When I've worked in large corporations on leadership teams. So I've seen teams at just about every level, either being a participant, a leader of, or a coach and consultant to.
Okay. Well, it seems like the workplace, it seems like we've been sitting on the cusp of some kind of huge change when it comes to workplace culture. And we've just been, oh, wow, next year could be the year. And then something else happens. And then we're always something else. You know, it seems like we really are on the cusp of something now. And I think coronavirus has kicked that into high gear. So let's fast forward probably 5 years from now. We'll think way far ahead. Can't even plan 5 minutes ahead, much less 5 years, but we'll do that anyway. What do you think the workplace of the future is going to look like? And who do you think will be the most successful companies? And what is it about them that makes it the most successful? That's a huge question.
Wow.
You can so break it up if you want. Yeah.
That's a huge crystal ball thing, but which companies, I don't know, but I think the ones that are able to, I mean, specific industries, I couldn't even put a pulse on, but right. The ones that are able to truly tap into people and understand that there are, you know, three parts to managing people. One is understanding their nature. They come as human animals and they act like animals sometimes. Mm-hmm. That they all have certain needs that must be met. And that once we understand those natures and the needs are met, we can nurture them to greater outcomes. So I think what's going to happen is we're constantly seeking. I think we're seeing that more now that we've been separated. We're seeking human connection. We're seeing how important it is to be together when we can't be together, right? Mm-hmm. So I think what's going to happen in the workplace, and I'm hearing the word adaptability a lot, and I think you said pivot when we were talking before we started. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of adapting the human moments we all have at work into advantages in our work. So meaning that people will have human moments where they fail, they'll have human moments where they succeed. It's how we have a growth mindset around adapting either moment to leverage the next phase, right? So to get mm-hmm. the outcomes we want to see from it. Because I don't know about you, but I've learned more from failure than I have from success sometimes. And we don't always leverage that in the workplace. We tend to shame it or mm-hmm. cover it up or remove it, but we don't go, wait a minute, those challenging times, and we've learned this through crisis now, crisis creates a lot of opportunity to adapt and pivot and change and figure out how to get human energy to move in a different direction. So I think we're going to harness the power of people in the future.
Mm-hmm. I was going to jump in there, and when you said, you know, I've learned a lot from failure, and I'm like, holy moly, have you met me? I mean, I'm like the king of learning from failure. And then I'm like, actually, no, she hasn't met me. This is our first interaction together. But, you know, going back to what you said before, I think some of the companies that I've noticed that really do this well already, you know, they'll have a tendency to not shame failure, like you said, but they'll go the other direction. They won't just be like neutral to it. They'll actually celebrate failure because get this, if somebody tried something and it didn't work, I mean, first of all, the culture is safe enough that they feel like they can take a risk and try something and be like, well, this might not work, but I'm going to try it anyway. What the heck, right? And if it doesn't work, then, okay, let's talk about it. We're also not going to sweep this under the rug and, oh my goodness, I hope my boss doesn't see this. But they're able to bring this out. And then the team creates that culture of safety. The whole company says, hey, talk about your mistakes, okay? We're not going to like beat you up or fire you or give you a wedgie in front of everybody. Like, this is good information. This is data. Let's work with it. This means something. Let's not make that same mistake again, but let's see what worked and what didn't work and extract the good. This is awesome stuff. I don't know if you can tell, but I can geek out about this for like hours. I found the worst podcast to be on if you want to get off here in a timely fashion. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But well, let's take a short break here for a sponsor message. And then I want to dig into your book because you've got a really interesting book that I'd like to pivot into. Pivoting. We're just pivoting today. Right. Well, let's pause for a little bit and we'll let the folks at home listen to a 45-second plug. And then we will be right back in just a little bit. Okie dokie. And we're back. It's me and Jeanette Wade still. Haven't changed guests in the middle of the break. And we have been talking about what it takes to make a rock star team. What does it take to make a rock star company culture? And on that note, we're going to pivot because all the cool kids are pivoting these days. We're talking about this book that you wrote. And what's the name of the book again?
It's called The Human Team. So you created a team, but people showed up.
Oh, man. Isn't that the worst?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've coached that are always shocked when the root of their issue is the people. Yeah. And I'll say, oh, you got a person? Oh, no, that's a unique problem. So, yeah it's almost always, they it's easy to blame the people. It's easy to celebrate the people. But it's you know, normally all of your problems or your successes come with people.
Yeah. Man, I just... That really sums up like the sum total of all the problems that every company has. It comes down to a human issue. Mm-hmm. It really does, which it's comforting because it's one thing that's a problem. But like you said, it's a complex thing. There's a lot to us. There's a lot of baggage. You know, when I was early on in my career, I had some people tell me, you know, when you come to work, you're supposed to leave your baggage at the door. And I don't know about you, but I've yet to meet anybody that can 100% do that all the time. Right. Like, you know, are we supposed to be able to, or are we supposed to be able to just drop it at the door? Should we bring our humanity with us? Like, how does this work? How do we be human at work?
Yeah. If we can bring our whole self into the work environment, we actually are way more productive. So if you really are true to who you are and everyone understands your full capability, the good and the bad, we can actually get you to greater outcomes faster because you are leveraging the things that are unique to you, the mm-hmm. things that bring you the most joy. And when you're joyful and you're contributing at your best self, you are highly engaged. You don't procrastinate. You tend to have more energy around the work. People love and gravitate towards working with you. And if you can get a team that's made up of the right mix of people, so the right structure of people, and they all bring themselves to the equation, we get higher levels of outcome. Mm.
So when we're talking about like what gets people really energized, like the approach that I take, I want to see if I'm on track with what you're saying. So the approach that I take is, as much as possible, have people do what they are really excited about doing all the time, right? And, you know, you'll hear some people say, you know, when it comes to running a business and entrepreneurship, you got to shovel poop once in a while. And it's like, actually, if there's something that you don't like doing, then work to the point where you can hand that off to someone who loves doing that. And case in point, I hate taxes. I hate accounting. I don't like filling out 1099s. I'd rather just farm it out. And it's like, surprise, we have a lady here in St. Louis that we hand that sort of stuff to. And she geeks out. She's like, you come with a fat stack of papers and a shoebox full of receipts. She's just, she loves that stuff. She eats it up. And it's like, great, let's have this person in our corner that really excels and does this at 10x more than what any normal mortal would do, right? Find people like that. So do you think that the right team structure, is it made up of, hey, we've got people that are really awesome at this, and then we've got other people that are awesome at that, and together we go forth and conquer? Or is it more than that? Is it skills-based, or is it personalities-based, or is it both? Like, I don't know.
Well, you know, so I think what you're going to find within the EOS framework, we always say structure first, people second. So first you have to figure out what is the structure of the seats and functions and roles that you need in your organization mm-hmm. in order to succeed as an organization. And then go out and find the people who truly are the right fit for each and every one of those seats to get the right team dynamics together. Because you're absolutely right. If you don't like to do something, first of all, you're less than enthused to do it. You tend to procrastinate it. Maybe you don't do it as well. But honestly, when you give it to the right person, it truly costs you less than what it would take for you to do yourself. Where if I had let you spend time on what you're really great at within our structure, you actually get a higher return on individual So because you are fully leveraged, we are fully in your zone, you are able to be autonomous, masterful, and purposeful, as Daniel Pink would say.
Yeah, I love that guy. I love the thing that he did when he was talking about pay people just enough money so that they're not worried about the money that they're making. And then I saw there was like a dry erase infographic that was like drawn in real time. They were drawing it really fast. And I was like, this is really cool. That was my first taste of that guy's work. It's cool that you use return on individual, because you can reuse the acronym. You still call it ROI. That's pretty cool. Did you come up with that, or is that an EOS thing?
It's not an EOS thing. I honestly, at this point, don't know if I came up with it or if it was part of a brainstorm with a client, or we were just talking about people. It's organically come from interaction with others, most likely.
Yeah, I love it. So what is your like glow up thing that you love doing, like your favorite part, the thing that you're just like, I'm awesome at this. I'm the perfect person for this, you know, like jump out of bed excited. What is it about your work that you love, love, love doing?
I love facilitating the leaders on leadership teams to making the toughest decisions they have for that day, that week, that month, that quarter, that year. They all have tough decisions to make, and the timeliness and the functionality of doing those decisions is sometimes a challenge for them. Sometimes they delay, sometimes they pull the trigger too fast. Sometimes because it involves people, they're not sure how to do it with grace, or they're not sure how to remove it without too much pain, right? So there's just so many challenges they're up against. I just love facilitating them to the right outcomes for them. Yeah. And helping them see that they're really going to move the organization to the next level and get what they want from it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing to be good at. And quite frankly, I kind of need people like you in my court, because, you know, trying to build a company and realizing day by day that it is possible to build something that can stand on its own. But as somebody without an MBA, like, I don't know what's possible. I don't know what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. But having somebody that knows, like, okay, here are the hard decisions. Here are the things that you got to be aware of. That's something cool. Where's your client base located at? Are you just working here in St. Louis, or do you have people from Singapore, all over the world? Like, where's your client base at?
It's primarily here in the St. Louis metro area. I have a few clients just in the central Midwest, so Indianapolis, Kansas City, within those kinds of driving range. But the vast majority of my clients are here in St. Louis. And that was by design pre-COVID, because I didn't have the time, you know, managing time and being able to be in full day sessions with clients. I had to stay local in order to maximize that for myself. But now that I'm able to do virtual, I may take on, if I have 100% virtual clients, I could take them on anywhere in the world, really.
Well, how do they find you usually? Do you have any kind of, how do they find you? How do they reach you?
You know, most of my clients find me through referral, but I have a few who are actively seeking EOS and wanting that implementation. And I've been a certified EOS implementer for a long time. So in this area, I was the first to bring it to the area. So they are seeking me in some cases through my website, which is business-alchemist.com. So I'm getting some people searching through that. Other than that, I'm relatively active on LinkedIn. So I'm getting some referral through that as well.
All right. Well, I'll have to be sure to connect with you on LinkedIn if I haven't already, because I'm all over the place on there. I need to do a better job of connecting with people, you know, that I've had on the show and keep in touch with them that way. But just got to develop my process a little bit. That's like the one part that I always forget to do. I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot to connect with that person. So as soon as I hit the stop button here and get the intro plug recorded, then I'll go ahead and I'll reach out to you on LinkedIn. Well, this is fun. This is cool. I can tell you really love what you do.
Oh yeah. No, I love seeing the transformation of the teams that I'm working with. And I just love seeing their eyes light up when they realize this is solvable. I just have to understand and be empathetic to humanity a little bit more. And I think we're seeing this more with people seeking out Brené Brown with vulnerability or EQ. You hear that as a buzzword quite often. I think leaders and managers are trying to figure out how to be more human at work. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to do that effectively. And hopefully you guys will check out my book, The Human Team, and find out how you can get those needs met.
That would be awesome. Yes, definitely. If you're listening to this and you need a book, grab it, because this is something that I think we're going to run into hard, because you keep hearing about all these hairy, scary millennials that are just whoo, boogity, boogity, and the Generation Z, right? And it's like, they're humans just like everybody else. And I'm just barely on the cusp. Like, I'm in the older millennial crowd. I saw an infographic and I'm like, all right, yes, I made the cut. I was born in 81. I just barely missed it. But, you know, it's not scary to work with different generations. It's just, it's different, you know, and younger kids, these kids that are coming along, they're in their late teens, early 20s. They've got different metrics for success, and they align very closely to, hey, if you're a company that's got the right kind of culture where people can bring their whole selves to work and just be human and not worry about judgment, it's a judgment-free zone, they're going to do some awesome things. But if they're doing the old command and control, old school, this is the way you've always done things, well, that's not going to work well. It's just not. It's not. I was talking with somebody just today, actually, like, what is it going to look like? Are there companies that are just going to go bye-bye? They're going to go extinct because they can't pivot? And the guy's like, absolutely. That's what's going to happen. You gotta adapt. So glad to see you're on the case. Well, this is fun. Yeah. This is fun. Well, I'll let you hop off here and I'll get this polished up for us. And then as soon as it goes live, you'll get an email. And thank you for your time today. This is a lot of fun. I hope you had fun too.
I did too. It always goes by too fast on these podcast interviews, but I enjoyed meeting you, Fritz.
Well, I enjoyed the same. And I keep telling people, I'm like, I'll get into a discussion and I'll be like, oh shoot, look at the time. And then it's like, I should have made this 45 minutes or an hour, but I want to be respectful of everybody's time. So I just said, I will do 30 minutes and then we can get you on for season 2. I'll start it back up in January. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, take care and hope you have a good rest of the day. All right.
Thanks. You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.